truly the greatest need that we have is to live for the glory of our God. Can I get an amen? Amen. That really is why we were created. Revelation chapter 4 says that all things were created for His pleasure. Colossians chapter 1 says that all things were created by Him and for Him. And how many of y'all believe that your life was created, that God created you and thought about you before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, that He had a plan for your life, and that the ultimate plan for your life was that you would live in such a way that would bring God glory? Can I get a witness in the house? Would you say amen? I believe that with all my heart. I really believe that's the tenor, the tone of all of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. That all things were made, all living things were made for His glory and His glory alone. And that gives our lives unbelievable amounts of dignity. And it gives our lives unbelievable amounts of purpose. And who also believes that by glorifying God, we are of infinite worth to Him. Hey, Father, we love You and we thank You, God, for Your love for us. We thank You, Father, for being the good God that You are and for framing us in such a way, determining the times that we should live on Your earth, determining the places that we should live, so that we could reach out to You, for You're not far from any of us. And so that we could live for the ultimate glory of You, O God, the great God Yahweh, Jehovah, that put all things into existence by the very breath of Your lips. And Father, we want to honor You. May You be worshipped through this message. And Father, may we all take our cues from Your word regarding our ultimate purpose as human beings. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me say here that you know, there are many pursuits in life, and often secular psychology will tell you that the ultimate need for all of us is self-actualization. That we would be our very best selves, that we would kind of, for lack of a better word, that we would fire on all cylinders as human beings. You know, how many of us know, church family, as I said last week, I'll say it again, the greatest thing in life is to live your life for something greater than your life. I'm not an end to myself. We're not ends to ourselves. We don't live for ourselves. We don't live for our ultimate desires or our ultimate needs or our ultimate potential. That might be part of it, but the ultimate purpose that we live is we live for the glory of our God. Listen, because I'm going to throw out a phrase that we'll pursue in the weeks to come. As God is glorified through us, we ourselves will be most satisfied in Him. As God is glorified through our lives, we ourselves will be most satisfied in our life in God. Can I get an amen on that, please? I believe we will be our truest selves. I believe we will reach our ultimate potential. The more glory we bring to God, the more our true selves we will become. Amen? I believe that. And so this morning, I want us to kind of shift gears a little bit, and I want us to look at our everyday lives. And how can our everyday, mundane, sometimes boring, sometimes average run-of-the-mill activities, how they could possibly bring glory to God. Let's train our eyes over to the screen. We have a little slide that I brought. Notice, a person with an average lifespan spends years on everyday repetitive activities. See if this is true. Sleep, 26 years. Who would say maybe less than that? Okay. Trying to fall asleep, 7 years. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. Time at work, 13 years. More than that? Unpaid overtime, 1 year. More than that? I'm sure. Watching TV, 8 years and 4 months. Social media, I think that's a low number. 3 years. Eating, 4 years, 6 months. Holidays, 3 years and 1 month. Exercising, 1 year and 4 months. Socializing, 1 year and 3 days. You know how many years that totals up to? 76 years, roughly. 76 years. So, give or take a few numbers on each of those line items, we will spend our lives, the majority of our lives, doing this. So I have a question then. So, how can you and I bring glory to God by merely doing the mundane, by merely practicing all of these activities? You know, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, that the days of man or the days of people will be, 70 years. That is 70 years. And if by strength, if you have a strong body, God says in that particular verse as well, then it might be 80 years that you live on this earth. So 70 to 80 years. Well, this kind of splits those in the middle. This is about roughly 76 years. So how can I, by sleeping, by trying to fall asleep, by working, by doing unpaid overtime, watching TV, social media, that's an exception, eating, holidays, exercising, so how can I bring glory to God in all those? Who wants to know? Thank you. Not enough hands. We're going to pause here till I get enough hands. Who wants to know? Oh, yeah. Everybody's got their eye on the clock. Now, that's a great motivation. Both hands up in the air. All righty. And so, use a true player. Anyway. So we can practice that. Notice what the message of that 1 Corinthians 10:31 says. Whatever we do, whether we eat. How spiritual is eating?
Very.
Right. It's right up there with praying, right, brother? Pretty much. Or drinking. You have your glass of water, you have your iced tea, you have your lemonade. How spiritual is that? Very. Did you know that that can be spiritual if done with the right heart attitude? The most mundane activities, whether you eat or drink, do it all, Paul says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do it all for the glory of God. Can we do everyday activities for the glory of God? See, there's a notion within all of us that unless I'm a missionary or unless I'm in full-time ministry, that I'm not really doing anything for God. Church family, is that true? No. No. Let me just pursue a thought here while we're on this very, very important thought. God created us as human beings, not as human doings. Right? God wants us to be in His presence rather than do in His presence. It's not the doing that defines my worth of bringing glory to God. It's my being, how I am in my life regarding to Him in His sight. Yoo-hoo. Now, let's break it down a little further. How many of y'all remember when your kids were very young and they, Terry, no cigar, right, brother? Okay, but they were young. I remember when my girls were just infants, toddlers, and they were asleep, and I'd crack open their bedroom door, and I'd watch them in their bed, and I watched, all they were doing was breathing, and you can see their little tummies going up and down, breathing. How many of y'all drew great joy from them just being in their slumber? How many of y'all did that fill your heart with joy and that filled your heart with gratitude for them? Don't you think that, you know, if we being evil, how much more will our Heavenly Father find delight in us? Not in doing, but simply in being? It's very, very important, church family. It's how we are in our daily lives. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, Jesus told all His disciples, you know, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You know, that's the way the translators translated the Bible. But do you realize in the Greek language, it doesn't say go. It's not a command to go. It simply reads this way, as you are going, living your daily lives, make disciples of all nations. It's not a command to go. It's a command to keep living your daily lives. And as you're living your daily lives, make disciples of all nations. You know, Cynthia and I were driving to Springfield yesterday, and we had a great conversation about atheism and atheistic evolution and so on and so forth. And, you know, it was confirmed this morning by Brother Gene talking about it. And Cynthia looked at me and she said, "Wow, we were just talking about that yesterday." Yes, we were. But the point of all that is there was some discipleship happening, as often happens between me and Cynthia. You know, we don't just say, "Oh, all right, honey, this is discipleship time. You need to tune in." No, we just have conversations as we're doing everyday life. And in that process, something spiritual happens. Now, what is my point? Is that the spiritual can happen in the mundane. Does that make sense? Who believes that? That the spiritual happens in the sleep. Who's ever had God-inspired dreams? I have. In trying to fall asleep, when I couldn't fall asleep the other night, so I was reading the Word. Time at work. Doesn't the Bible say employees work as unto the Lord, for He is really the one that rewards you? Not as eye service for your bosses. Work as unto the Lord in your heart. So the spiritual can happen, yes, even in the eating, Craig. Depends what you're eating, right, brother?
It's all from God.
It's all from God. Even the cholesterol, even the sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially that, right? So the spiritual is in the mundane, is what I'm trying to say. Now, here's a quote by a very, very prophetic man that lived many years ago, died in the 20th century, A.W. Tozer. And I want you to pay close attention to what he said, church family, because it's very, very important. He said, "Let a person sanctify the Lord in their hearts, and they can thereafter do no common thing." Let me break that down for you. Let a person sanctify the Lord in their heart, and they can thereafter do no common thing. What A.W. Tozer was driving at was if in our heart, if our heart attitude is to the Lord, no matter what we're doing, no matter what, if it's everyday, ordinary, mundane, humdrum activity, that what they begin to do is not common. It is not ordinary. All of a sudden, it becomes holy to the Lord. Who believes that?
Amen.
Amen. You can work as holy unto the Lord. You can wash dishes, ladies, as holy unto the Lord. Men, we can wash dishes too as holy unto the Lord. Come on, somebody. We can set out traps for mice as holy unto the Lord. Slow, I caught that sucker last night. Mr. Jingles is a goner. Whoever watched the Green Mile? Remember Mr. Jingles? He's gone, brother. He didn't outlive Tom Hanks in that movie. It's a movie reference. If you saw the movie, you appreciate that, right, Miss Jean? So, well, Mr. Jingles is a gong. Hallelujah. But I've got other traps just in case. The point being is, no matter what we do with our everyday lives, church family, no matter what we do, we can bring glory to God. It's not what you do that brings Him glory. It's how we do it that brings Him glory. You know, I remember many, many years ago. In fact, Mother Teresa said often, she said, it's not doing great things, it's doing the ordinary things with great amounts of love. It changes the complexion of what we do. Then all of a sudden, that attitude makes us all missionaries in our own particular daily mission fields. Many years ago, I've cited this reference as an example on Sunday evenings. I don't think I've shared it. I don't know if I've shared it on Sunday mornings, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You know, I was in pastor of a church in Kansas, and I remember one afternoon I was at the office, and we had a couple of intellectually disabled adults would come in and use the facilities. It was like clockwork. You know, they were very routine-oriented. And they would stop by because they would walk down. We were like down at the bottom of a hill. Up on top of the hill was the nursing home that they lived in. Well, they would come out, they'd walk around town. They called them the Walking Brothers. And so they would stop by the church, use the facilities. Our facilities were downstairs in the basement. They would walk down, then come up, and then leave. And then they'd go to the watch store, and they would synchronize their watches. And then they'd go to the cemetery to pay respects to one of their siblings, deceased siblings. How many of y'all have heard me tell this story before? Some of you have, but not all of you have. So here we go. And so one time... they came in running into the church building, and I didn't think much of it until I looked up, and then one had his hand on his hind parts of his pants. So I'm assuming that he was really needing to go, and so didn't think much of it. And then after a while, they left, and so I was in my office, and then I needed to go downstairs to get something from the supply room. And when I was downstairs, there was this odor that permeated all of the basement. So I was like, okay. And so I followed my nose, as Toucan Tim instructs us to do in that cereal commercial. And it led me to the restroom, and boy, did they miss. They went all, that one brother went all over the floor, and it was carpeted. So I figured, well, my lightning fast brain tells me that I'm in a position to call our custodian, notify our custodian. So I go upstairs and, dial the custodian. And her name was Edie, and she also drove bus, after school bus. And thankfully, I reached her and I said, hey, Edie, this happened. One of the Walking Brothers stopped by and they missed entirely. And it's all over the floor. And she's like, well, Pastor Joel, I'm going to have to tell you that I'm sorry I can't make it. So why don't you clean it up, and I'll see you on Sunday. And I hung up and I said, fine, I'm going to notify the board.
I thought that was my attitude. But then I'm thinking, it needs to be cleaned up. And I knew
the church members that if the custodian couldn't do it, and she asked me to do it, they weren't going to hold her accountable. They were going to hold who accountable? So down I went with a horrible attitude, mind you. Horrible attitude. And we had big rubber boots and rubber gloves, and we had a squeegee. And so that's what I took in there, and here I am squeegeeing the whole mess. I'm going to try to keep it polite, okay? It doesn't have to be rated R, but here I am pushing. And I'm just thinking, I'm really mad. I'm like, Lord, this is not what I went to seminary for. It's not what I went to undergraduate college for to get, I didn't get this pastoral ministry's bachelor's for this. I'm here to, win the world to Christ, and I'm here to do great things. And how many of y'all know that that kind of talk does not impress the Lord? It didn't. And it went to the level, because, in my previous pastorate, before that church, I was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And it was a very small church, and it began to grow. And a couple of people that came was this beautiful couple, older years. They were in their late 80s, and they were very well-to-do. And, when I announced that the Lord had been leading us out of that church and into the church in Kansas, they were a couple of the people of that church that said, hey, we don't want you to leave. And in fact, this is in 1993, okay, so you do the math. They said, Pastor Joe, they sat down with me in my office one day, and they said, Pastor Joe, we don't want you to leave. We will up your salary by $10,000 a year. How many of y'all know that $10,000 today a year is pretty darn good money? Amen. Can you imagine what it was back in 93? And they said, plus, we will pay all of your tuition, all of your books, all of your expenses for seminary so you can graduate with your Master's of Divinity. Well, it sounded appealing, but I knew, how many of y'all know that sometimes you just know when God wants you to do something different? We knew that we were supposed to move to Kansas. Well, while I'm cleaning up this mess down in the basement there in that Kansas church, I was thinking, I should have taken the money. I should have taken the money and ran. I should have stayed back there. What was I thinking? This is not what I signed up for. I'm thinking that, you know, and I'm getting mad. How many of y'all believe that the Lord speaks to us? And often he speaks to us in those moments where we're fuming. And he said, I'll never forget it. I know I've got a photographic memory, but I never forget the things the Lord tells me. I really keep them in my heart. And he said, Joe, in that tone of voice, Joe, he said, what if it's my will that you sit in a room by yourself doing nothing for the rest of your life, and in so doing, you bring me maximum glory? What would you do then? And I'm thinking, well, that's not what I studied seminary for. I didn't study to sit in an empty room doing nothing. I'd never had that thought. That thought right there where the Lord ministered to me, that revolutionized my thinking, because before then I thought that you had to be doing something for him to bring him glory. And he said, Joe, what if it was my will that you sat in an empty room doing nothing, and in so doing you brought me maximum glory? What would you do?
Because I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for you. And he went on and he said, well, Joe, it's my will that you clean up this mess. And he said, get to it. Just like that. Get to it.
I tell you, church family, when he said that in my spirit, I didn't hear him with my physical ears. It was not an audible voice. But how many of us know that he talks with a still, small voice in our spirits? When I heard that, it changed my attitude dramatically. And listen, what it did more than anything else, it changed my outlook. That I don't necessarily have to be engaged in physical activity doing something to bring him glory. In that particular instance, I could be doing nothing and bring him maximum glory. How many of y'all believe that the trees bring him glory? And all they do is provide shade and oxygen. Keeps us alive. How many of y'all believe that just by being, you are a blessing to other people? That's what I want to be. Just by being. Right? I believe God blesses that. So what am I getting at? What are we driving at this morning? Church family, listen, you can worship God in the mundane, in the everyday, and bring him glory just by our heart attitude. If we adjust our heart attitude, you know, instead of a humdrum, this is boring. You know, can I be honest with you? Boring is not in my vocabulary. It really isn't, because I can think of a myriad of things. If I ever find myself, quote unquote, bored, I can find a lot more things that I can get to and start doing to get myself unbored. Can I get a witness in the house? Boredom, church family, is a state of our mind. It's not a state of reality. I like the way you looked at your kids at that. Did you hear that? Right? It's an attitude of the heart. Boredom is an attitude of the heart. If I ever find myself with 2 hours doing nothing, I'll go to the gym. Do something. I can clean the house, or try to, Miss Karen. Not as good as you do. I'll find something. It's not hard. There's always scripture to read, right? There's always stuff that I can be doing to jar my way out of that thinking that it's boring. So I want to encourage this, church family, it's not what we do, it's how we do it. No matter how meaningless, seemingly meaningless, no matter how mundane, routine. You know, in Matthew 25, the Lord said, you know, I will bring the sheep and I will put them on my right hand, and they'll and the righteous will say in that day, Lord, when did we see you? When did we visit you in prison? When did we feed you? When did we do these great acts? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you've done it to me. How many of us know that there is no such thing as an insignificant act? Amen. in the kingdom of God when it's done with the right heart attitude. When it's done with the right heart attitude, it brings God glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for encouraging us, Lord, not to feel like we've got to do more. Father, help us to do what we do with the right heart attitude, to your glory. Help us to do it with gladness of heart. Help us to do it with a servant's heart. Lord, thank you for all those attitudes that lend to giving you and bringing you maximum glory. Thank you for all this in the name of Jesus. Before we dismiss, I want to share one last verse, Romans 12:1 out of the Message Bible. Thank you. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. May God bless you. Father, send us forth with your blessing. Make your face to shine upon us. Thank you, God, for giving us your strength, giving us your peace. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.